Joining us now in our studios is the superintendent of schools in Northfield, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure, as always.
You have a lot of good things from last night, at least some good news things.
Yeah, and you know, we'll all take good news.
Yeah, let's start off with Nancy Antoine, one of your principals, was named the Principal of the Year,
right,
and recently received that honor.
Yeah, so Nancy Antoine, who is our principal at Bridgewater Elementary, well known in the community, has been with the district for around 15 years. Last spring, she learned she was going to be named Minnesota's National Distinguished Principal by the Minnesota Elementary School Principals Association, and it's an award that's sponsored nationwide by the National Association of Elementary School Principals. And Nancy officially received that award last Friday at a celebration event in Washington, D.C. And so Nancy gathered with all of the other National Distinguished Principals from throughout the United States. She had a lot of energy and excitement upon her return of some of the really neat things that she learned that other schools led by National Distinguished Principals are doing, and she's excited to bring those ideas back to Northfield. And again, just a hearty congratulations from our entire community to Nancy, just an outstanding principal, so focused on kids doing well in all aspects of their life, very supportive of families. So we're very thrilled that Nancy was able to receive that award, and I know that all Northfielders join me in congratulating her. It is the most prestigious award that a principal can win in Minnesota.
Wow. Yeah, that's a neat story, and we congratulate her and thank her for her service and in advance for her future service as well. The school district, actually the county, also recently got a grant money to start a new program. Tell us about it.
So this is a really exciting opportunity for Rice County residents, and it's something that's called the Healthy Ways Program. So this was a program that was formerly called Healthy Harlem, and it's from the nationally known Harlem Children's Zone, which is a similar collective impact project to what we have here in Northfield called Northfield Promise. And so the Healthy Harlem program was really designed to make sure that kids and families learned how to take better care of themselves by, according to their website, making thoughtful choices and establishing lifelong healthy habits. And Rice County was selected as the first of what they call replication sites. So the program has a number of evidence-based practices. So when we talk about evidence-based practices, what we mean is that those practices that they're using, the things that they're teaching, the kinds of programs that they're having children participate in and families participate in, have been studied and have been deemed to be effective in terms of improving health outcomes for students and families. And it's been researched. And so now they're to the point where they're so confident that the approach that they're using with the Healthy Ways program, that they can take it and replicate it elsewhere. That's a big step, right, when you're studying and looking at what are some of the important things as part of a program that we can learn and then cross-pollinate, I like to use that term, you know, to other communities. So Rice County is the first replication site of the Healthy Harlem program, or that now is called the Healthy Ways program, in the nation. And so Rice County received the grant. The program will be run through our community school here at Greenville Park Elementary, and then in Faribault at their community school at Jefferson Elementary. And then, of course, one of the things you need to do right after you get a program going like this is you need to hire someone to be the champion or someone to run it. And I'm really proud to share that Diego Calvario Bravo, who is a Northfield High School graduate, he grew up here, he went to Northfield High School, he played varsity soccer for us, was a Torch student, recently graduated from St. Olaf College, where he double majored in kinesiology and Latin American studies. He is going to be the first coordinator of the Northfield Healthy Ways program. And so we're always excited when we can have a graduate come back and begin a new program that's going to have an impact on hundreds of kids and their families. So more to come on this, Jeff. The programming will be delivered through our community school model that has been very successful. That programming has started, I believe, and so we're very excited to be able to offer this to our community.
Do you have an idea yet? Just kind of a rough idea of what it's going to look like. How, you know, where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
where the
currently
kids are concerned.
Being developed, Jeff. Okay. So we'll have more details in the coming weeks. The first piece is getting the replication site approval. Mm-hmm. And then the next step is actually operationalizing the program, which we have a long history of being able to operationalize programs. So we'll be happy to bring folks in to talk about it as we get that program up and running.
Sounds good. We'd like that. Let's move on. We still have a pandemic going on, and COVID-19 has I'm not sure. We get reports that it's up and then it's down, and it has been pretty much a year and a half like that. Where are we at right now within the school district?
So I think the key thing is the school district tends to be a microcosm of the community. And so what we know is that over the last several weeks, we've seen really kind of a steady increase, not wild jumps right in the last few weeks, but we've seen a steady increase in the number of cases within Rice County. So for example, just a couple of weeks ago, the reporting period September 12th through the 18th, there were 171 new COVID-19 cases in Rice County. The week of September 19th to the 25th, so two reporting periods ago, we were at 188. And then just this past week, we were at 192 or 193. So we've heard that it's cresting, but the crest appears to be very slow here. And so really kind of still on a slow increase. At school, what we have been doing is we track every day. So right now, as of late yesterday afternoon, we updated our dashboard. So right now across the district, we have a total of what are 15 active cases. And that means that those 15 cases across the entire district have been reported to us in the last 14 days. So every day there might be some cases that come off that come out of that 14-day window. And of course, you know, there's some days where we have new cases that come out. So currently we have 15 active cases as of right now. And total, going back to August 31st, we've had a total of 46 new cases among staff and students during the school year. And you can take a look at our COVID-19 dashboard. You'll see that we provide the current number of cases at each building and the total number of cumulative cases, and then the last time that we updated it. So right now, when you think about probably roughly 4,400 people on camp, 4,400 people on campus every day, when we think about those number of cases, and especially seeing that we still have not seen spread at school, and we think it's those layers of mitigation that are really helping in terms of our universal masking approach during the school day, making sure that kids who aren't feeling well are home, and just taking what we call the layers of mitigation. Our goal is to keep this out of school to the best of our ability. You can't, right? It's a virus. As Dr. Osterholm says, it's going to find you, you know, and we want to just make sure we take all the reasonable steps that we can to try to keep it out of our school so we can keep after our goal of uninterrupted in-person learning.
All right, let's move on.
One more piece on COVID, if I can share that.
Do you have that?
This is a pretty important piece. So one of the parts that we are working on to address is quarantine, Jeff. So we have far fewer quarantines this year than we did last year because when everyone is masked, if both parties in interaction were masked and one person has tests positive for COVID-19, the person who is just the close contact doesn't need to quarantine. But we still have students who have to quarantine, whether they might have some minor symptoms. So the decision tree that we use from the Minnesota Department of Health says you should stay home if you have one more common symptom or two less common symptoms. You and I both know those common symptoms also look like things like the common cold and some other seasonal allergies. So we do have kids who are presenting a couple of less common symptoms who are staying home, and that they could stay home for 10 days under that quarantine. And again, that's a layer of mitigation to keep this out of our schools to the best of our ability. Students can come back if they take a COVID-19 test and it's a negative test. Now, we can only accept the PCR test, which is typically a saliva or a swab test, or something called a molecular test to allow students to come back. We've heard clearly from families, Jeff, that they are struggling to get some of these appointments. We do have some capacity in town. You can get tests at Alina Clinic by calling them, Northfield Hospital and Clinics, and Walgreens. But we know that those appointments can be sometimes tough to get. And the state offered a grant to schools to be able to set up some of their own testing. So we are going to be setting up our own. We've since last December, offered families the Vault saliva test. That's something that we've provided people. They take it home. They Zoom with the Vault company. They complete the saliva test. They send it in, and usually a day or so later, they get the results. But that's really not fast enough anymore. So we were able to get for free from the state several thousand, actually, of what are called the Q tests. And these are rapid molecular tests. It's a non-invasive swab test. We were able to get those for free. And the district, all districts in the state were offered a grant to support some COVID-19 testing, again, to help increase the testing capacity in their school community. And so we received about $220,000 from the state that we can use for staffing or things to help implement a testing program. And so we're going to do that. We've heard from a number of families that they just would like to have some more local access to a quicker COVID-19 test. So we are working, we are planning to do a drive-through testing program at our district offices. So we're finishing the logistics on it. We anticipate we'll be able to start offering some appointments next week. It'll be an appointment-based system. Again, people would pull up in their cars near the district office. Our staff would come out and help take the nasal sample. And then it's a very quick turnaround. It's about a 20-minute test. So you take the test, and then there's a piece of technology we get, you know, that allows us to process the test result right on campus. So it's something that's much more quick in terms of returns, and that molecular test, our local epidemiologists and other folks tell me that it's as accurate and as sensitive as the PCR test. So I just think it's important for the community to know that we have heard from our families who are just wanting a little bit more quicker turnaround time for an appointment, you know, and for being able to get those results. And we're responding to that, listening to our families and saying, yep, we can offer that. To be clear, this is not our job, right? This shouldn't be our job. But we all have to work together in the community during the pandemic to serve our families in whatever way that they need. And so this is one of the things. We're not replacing any other testing program. You know, we're just simply trying to offer another option for people so that they can get their kids back to school. Again, that goal of uninterrupted in-person learning.
All right. Boy, it's amazing that they can do that in 20 minutes now.
It's the turnaround. Remarkable technology. Yeah. Remarkable technology.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, is with us. You were in a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about the enrollment, and the October 1st numbers are very important for school districts, not only you, but around the state. I'm presuming you have those numbers now. Can you give us some insight on what they say?
Yeah, you bet. So the October 1 enrollment date is important because it's the enrollment that the state will use for many of our calculations for funding. Now, to be clear, it's a snapshot in time, and as we talked about the last time, the levy process is actually a multi-year process, and so at the end of the year, they'll go back and look, was that October 1 enrollment report right? You know, was it the actual number of students who ended up there for the whole year? And there's some cleanup financially over the next couple of years to make sure that we get the amount of money that we were entitled to have. But when we look at this year's October 1 count, and I'm going to specifically use what we call full-time students, our overall enrollment number would include students in our early childhood program, and also some part-time students who attend the Area Learning Center for things like credit recovery to make up credits that they might have not been able to earn in the regular time frame. So when we just look at those full-time students, our October 1 enrollment this year was 3,810. And when we compare that to the end-of-year enrollment report last year, we're down about 22 students, which we projected. So we've talked many times on the show, Jeff, about the demographic projections that we had done approximately 8 years ago that said Northfield schools would decline in enrollment by around 200 students over a 10-year period. We're on track with that projection, number of reasons that that could be. But when we look at that number last year to this year, 3,832 at the end of last year, we look at the number to the October 1 this year, 3,810. You know, we're down about 20 students, which is right in line with what we projected. But there's another part of the story that I think shows how we are holding our own and probably better than maybe some of us thought we would. So it's important to look at how many students graduated and how many new kindergartners we get, right? So we graduate a 12th grade class and we bring in a kindergarten class. Last year we graduated 326 students and we brought in 243. Now this year's kindergarten class at 243 is much bigger. We had 204 last year. You'll recall there were a number of kindergarten families last year that chose to keep their children home for one more year so that they didn't have that disrupted academic year that we were all anticipating last year, which we didn't have as much of that as maybe some people might have thought, but it was still an unusual school year last year. So that's one of the reasons we think we have a larger kindergarten class this year compared to last year. But when you think about the overall enrollment going down by 20, when you actually graduated 326 students and brought in 243, we'll be getting some more information. The next step in our enrollment analysis is something called the Enrollment Options Report, and we'll be sharing that with you in probably one of the next two meetings, Jeff. And the Enrollment Option Report takes a look at every resident student in the district and puts on paper where they are attending. It's, of course, aggregate. We don't have students' names next to, you know, where they're going. But what we have is an aggregate to say, okay, there were 32 students that chose to go to this school district who are district residents. There are 5 students who are choosing to go to this charter school. And then we do it the reverse way, too. We bring in the aggregate of other districts and how many of their students are coming to Northfield Public Schools. So we know there's been a lot of shakeup over the last couple of years and people making choices educationally, whether that be the traditional public school choice, which Minnesota has one of the most robust systems of public school choice in the country, whether it be choosing a private school, or in some cases we had seen an increase a little bit in our homeschooling. So we will share that with you coming up. This enrollment report's important. That next layer gives us a little bit more explanation about where did kids land, and you just need some time to get that done.
Superintendent Matt Hillman is with us, and we're talking right now about enrollment. Actually, why don't we move on to our next topic, because we got a few more minutes. That's the strategic plan. You've been working on that.
Right. So a strategic plan is so important for an organization because it casts the vision and what the expectations for outcomes are. And so we have an excellent school district, but we also want to be able to show people objectively that we are meeting the expectations that the community has for us. So our strategic planning process has been a little longer than I normally like, but just obviously it's a pandemic. So we started taking feedback last spring. We had several sessions for our staff to provide feedback. Some of our advisory groups and a student group we had provide feedback. This fall, as I've shared before, you know, we've had several sessions for parents. We actually held a strategic planning in the parking lot, strategic planning session in the parking lot outside my office, so that if people wanted to come unmasked, they could do so. We held one inside. We've held one via Zoom. We're holding one on Thursday night that will be translated into Spanish, so we can make sure that we get the feedback from our Spanish-speaking community. So we have received a lot of feedback about where people would like to see the school district and what outcomes they'd like to see us have over the next 5 years. The next steps will be I'll be taking that information. I'll be putting it together in a series of objectives for the next 5 years. It's my role to put that together, the draft portion. I'll be sharing that again back with our administrative team and our staff to get some feedback. I'll be sharing it with the board and asking for their feedback. We'll seek some additional community feedback about the draft product, and we anticipate the board would adopt that on December 13th. They'll have a couple of opportunities to hear about it, of course, in the November meetings, and then we'll ask them to officially adopt whatever it ends up being on December 13th.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll have more time to talk about that in future shows, so we'll just wrap it up at that. Is there anything else you'd like to pass along before we let you go?
Just again, Jeff, we so appreciate KYMN and the service that you give to our community, just helping people become informed. So thanks for taking the time to bring local officials on.
Well, thank you for the kind words, and thank you for coming in today. Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. You're listening to 95.1 FM and AM 1080, streaming online, kymnradio.net.